What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is the Fightful Select Q&A show live for February 9th, 2024. Now, those of you that are watching the YouTube stream of this, some of you will probably have access to this despite not being on Fightful Select. I'll explain to you why that is, and it'll be a very few of you. Yesterday, a stream was set up it looked like I was going to be doing a live stream about the presser, and I would have loved to have done that, but had other plans. There was just a miscommunication there, but there were a lot of people that showed up and left a thumbs up on that video. So what I decided to do was just keep that stream active for people who had set reminders or things like that, because we give an awful lot of people extras on FightfulSelect.com anyway. I'm sure they're all right with it. And if they're not, guess what? I'll do another Q&A at some point to sort of make up for that. So for those of you that were let down that I didn't do a stream yesterday, I am very sorry. I did make it back. I got in and out of Las Vegas. I landed at noon local time. I was in my Uber to leave Las Vegas the following morning at 5 a.m. So it was about a 17-hour trip for me. Went and hung out at an NFL party with Top Dollar. Went to the WWE kickoff event, which, you know, it has kind of been noted to me. Well, it wasn't necessarily a press event. It was a kickoff event. I was fortunate enough, myself and Denise, to get some interviews there. I really do feel bad for the wrestling media that didn't get those there. I'll address that right off the top. I know there were a lot of people that were disappointed by that were there, and I feel very bad for them. I have been on the outside looking in before. You know, I'll always go to bat for those people, because there's a lot of people that I really like that didn't get the same opportunities as us. But I also know that we have worked hard to get our opportunities as well. That being said, I'll always fight for them. Also, I want to address the interviews that I did. I did 5 interviews, and I asked one person about Vince McMahon, and that was Seth Rollins. I specifically did not feel like it was appropriate to ask the 4 women that I interviewed about Vince McMahon, because one person never worked with him, and 3 of them, you know, I don't know what maybe they could have been subjected to, or what they, you know, what investigations they may or may not be participating in that sense. And it was very clearly predatory behavior on women that was the issue. So I wish I could have spoken to Triple H and The Rock, because I can tell you the only questions I had for them were related to Vince McMahon and the lawsuit. But I already respected Seth Rollins an immense amount for his work, the way that he does virtually everything that he does. I mean, he's a goddamn pro, man. But also the manner in which he addressed that. He didn't give me any issues. He didn't complain one bit that I asked the question. Guy's a fucking pro. And by all indications, a really great guy. So I want to thank him for being candid about it. I want to make this clear, too. Just because there isn't the same influx of information regarding this lawsuit and the things around it doesn't mean we aren't working on it. I am working on this every single day. And now I'm working with 3 different mainstream outlets to help them navigate things and gain some supplemental information, as well as they have additional resources that we might not have. But it is not going to go away. I will still continue to work on this story. I know that there's a ton of people that will still do that. Was Cody doing interviews? We'll kick this off. I think you mentioned you were going to ask him if he'd signed his contract. So he didn't do an interview with me. I'm going to see if I can pull some strings this week when he's in Lexington. Maybe I can make that work. Assuming he does Raw now. But no, he didn't do that road. The people that I talked to were Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, Jade Cargill, and then Montez and Bianca collectively. Stick says, what's the Mania plans for LA Knight, Styles, and Orton? I don't know for the last two. LA Knight was originally planned for Logan Paul. It was hinted to me that maybe there's some more of that. Damn it. My own audio started to kick off. This is why I need earbuds even for this show. who could take over the booking of TNA now that Scott is gone? I think probably Tommy Dreamer and Gail Kim probably are the ones that will take over that. But I can tell you that, man, there's a lot of talent unhappy about it. A lot of talent that felt like Scott gave them their opportunity and was hoping, I think he was hoping to buy the company. You have to focus on the women's division lately as a term of Mercedes signing. I don't think it was a term of the signing, but I do think that they go hand in hand. I do think that them getting Mercedes definitely caused them to put some more care into that division. And, you know, I wish it would have happened sooner. Can you confirm the report by Andrew Zarian that AEW is planning a stadium pay-per-view in the U.S.? Yes, I can. I don't know if it'll be like, you know, like SoFi Stadium, but they are, yes. And Andrew Zarian's work is incredible. Like, he's very good. I want to give him another shout out for all the, like, he and I were conferring with each other about the Mercedes stuff. Both, so there was a story that came out that AEW was going to announce Mercedes or the Boston show around Rumble weekend, but they didn't because of the Vince lawsuit. That's not the plan. That wasn't the thing. Like, Andrew and I have known, but have not been able to report on the record that it was going to be announced February 7th for almost a month. I would say 4 full weeks. So that's why I was so passionate about that, because that helped me sleep an awful lot better, at least knowing that. Any news on Camille? It seemed like, by the way, thank you for sponsoring the Fightful Awards, Matthew Hooks and Hooked in Voiceovers. It sounded like NXT was going to make her an offer. I don't know if they did, but I know that even they said, like, even, how do I put this? Even NXT people I talked to said that they thought that she was going to come in. People close to her thought that she was headed there. There wasn't a deal as of the time that she appeared backstage at AEW Dynamite that we reported about, and they had a talk, and AEW liked her. Any new SummerSlam news? Somebody hit me up, and they said that somebody that they trusted in Cleveland really indicated to them that SummerSlam would be there. They were the front runner. Not just the front runner. Expected to happen. How would you rate Tom Lawler's chops as a member of the press? It was cool to see him out there. I turned around and saw him and spoke with him. I just want to say this. One, Tom Lawler is an incredible fighter. He's an incredible wrestler. He referred to himself as a talking head there as opposed to like a journalist. And I think he's one of the best ones of those we've ever had in pro wrestling as well. The guy is, he's funny. He's smart. The level of understanding of, especially because he fought, man. That's why he understands psychology. The dude fought. He knows what does and doesn't work. He's just really, really great at this shit, man. All of the shit. Fighting, wrestling, talking, cutting promos, all of it. Did Haley J ever get her WWE tryout? Not yet, but they did like her. Was the plan for the 217 collision? No info is announced yet for that date. Then it's a double taping. No update on the Hall of Fame inductees. Also, guys, I noticed there were some comments about some typos in the stories. I want to apologize for that and explain a couple things. If you see like stuff that just gets inexplicably cut off, that's beyond my control. It's not something we can handle. It's a Patreon thing, and they swear they're going to get it fixed. Typos, unfortunately, that happens. We'll do our best to have some due diligence on that and do better at that, though. I typed this morning's post on my phone at the airport on no sleep. Is the wellness policy still in full effect? So, yeah, the wellness policy is in effect, but the thresholds that they have, you got to be a real dumbass to fail a wellness test in WWE. But still, you're not going to have nearly as many people with traps popping out of their ears. Was last night a complete pivot because of the backlash? Yes. I want to make this clear. This was not a work from the start of it. They saw the reaction and they said, well, let's adjust. I cannot make that more abundantly clear. It isn't like I spoke to a WDB rep and said, let me run this story. I spoke to numerous people near Cody. I spoke to numerous people near The Rock and Roman Reigns and Punk and Rollins. There's no way that all of this stuff could have coexisted. And I mean, there's no motivation for some of these people to be in on the work. I mean, I talked to people from AEW that are close to Cody. There's no reason for them to be in on the work. And they were straight up like, damn, they really fucked Cody type of thing. Let's see. What do we got here? I don't know about Okada, guys. I'm working on it. I was told I needed to ask around about him. Any news on Big E? SRS? Saw him at the press conference, hoping something good. We've started to hear him say the next good. We've started to hear him say, yeah, that'd be a cool match type of thing. There were people close to him that when I would talk to them like over a year ago, they would refer to him as retired. And I'm like, oh? But I think unless somebody says that themselves, I would never, you know, put that on them. I never write a report saying they have retired unless they kind of let me know of that. Break down this Rossi Stardom thing like I'm five and how it relates to WWE, TNA, AEW. Okay, to the best of my ability, because Joshi is not my beat. Last Wednesday, I found out that Rossi Ogawa was departing Stardom. I found out he had given his notice, and then a couple days later, they terminated him to get ahead of the story. He founded Stardom. He sold Stardom, did very well off of it, sold it to Bushiroad. Had the loyalty of an awful lot of talent. People in WWE said that because of his waning influence in Stardom, that helped them land Kairi Sane. The people I talked to in WWE were under the impression that he helped sort of nudge Julia that direction as well. There was always a contentious relationship with AEW. There were a lot of things put out elsewhere that AEW had never talked to Stardom about their talent or anything like that. They had tried to dispute a story that I posted about AEW sending Megan Bain there, even though she was under contract. So there were a lot of dispute. And by the way, that isn't true. AEW had definitely shown interest in Stardom talent in the past. But there are a lot of people that are still in Stardom that are probably going to leave Stardom because Rossi is starting his own promotion. Now, I had posted that I heard it was rumored that he would be working with WWE or WWE Bound. There are people that I'm talking to in WWE that they believe that once he gets his promotion up and running, there will be like sort of a steady stream of talent that might end up popping over into WWE. Do you think the Vengeance Day vignette relates to an All Japan guy? I think it could. I don't know who it is, but I think it could. I don't know who it is yet. Corey Brennan's working hard on that story. Mr. Acosta says, Sean, just curious, is there a reason why you wait to drop your interviews a few weeks instead of right away? I ask, sometimes the combo may be outdated, not all the time. Almost never is it outdated. So I do that because, one, we have sponsors. We have NordVPN, and we have a mandate for the number of interviews we've got to release per week. You'll notice I released the Becky and Seth ones immediately. I also like to spread out like our content for Fightful Select as well. But I did post these much sooner this time because I felt like, you know what? I'm there. I'm one of the few people in wrestling media that are getting these interviews. Let's go ahead and post a couple of these. So we posted Seth and Becky. I'm going to start posting them a lot sooner. But then there are, you know, are places like Squared Circle Expo and WrestleCade that I go to, and I intentionally do those evergreen. That way I can slow release them. That way, if there's a week we don't have interviews, we'll have them. But I am going to start releasing them in a more timely manner because it's not just me getting interviews now. Joe Pearl, Cresta, Jeremy, like we have no issues. We have no issues getting a steady stream of interviews, but I know he says, makes sense. Thank you. I know that's a question a lot of people have because Denise releases hers right away. And that's Denise's prerogative for her channel, and it does really well. So you know what? We're going to try that a little bit more. How long is that Mercedes contract with AEW? That $1,000 charity bet looking good now. Let's see if that guy holds his end of the deal. Do we even remember his handle? Can somebody go back and look that? Look at that, because yeah, was a slap work or a shoot? Well, okay, it was planned, but it was a real slap. That's a trick question, there, Maddie. Maddie, nice. Was it related to Wendy Chu? I don't know who it's related to yet. But it's good that they need to do more vague stuff like this because it gets people talking. It really does, and people love the speculation. There are strong numbers for the pre-sale today for big business, 4.3K sold so far. Do you take this as a good sign of the demand for Mercedes for a show built around her? Not only that, Robert, for a show built around her that isn't even officially debuting her. Just internet rumor. Am I going to sell out the TD Garden like I sold out the United Center? I don't know. Your t-shirts are too tight too, Billy. I think it's a very good indication of Mercedes being a draw because I have long said this. And I've gotten some pushback from some agents and I'm like, man, I see her audience all the time. There are a whole lot of Mercedes fans that aren't WWE or AEW or New Japan or Stardom fans. They are Mercedes fans. I mean, I know one of them, my good friend Destiny FOMO, was like, yeah, I'm going to Boston. I ain't been to a wrestling thing in a while. Are the Elite still a thing, or is it like the Cody situation where they just kind of went their own way? So, I mean, I'm going to look on the AEW roster. I can tell you creatively, they're not like connected or anything, which Kenny's not connected to anything creatively right now, to be clear. They're still listed together on the AEW roster, but I mean, there weren't creative plans for them together at that point. Can you confirm if Tony may have hurt his chances with Stardom talent because of his public celebration of Rossi's dismissal? Some talent that is loyal to Rossi, for sure. But the majority, I think, would still take that opportunity if presented to them. But there are absolutely there's like numerous talent that are very, very loyal to Rossi. Is SRS possibly facing the Rocket Mania? I want to make this clear. Outside of Cody and Roman Reigns, which has been announced, confirmed, and reiterated, I don't know what The Rock's plans or Seth Rollins' plans are for WrestleMania. So what we'll do now is speculate. I saw somebody saying they could do Cody and Rollins versus Rock and Roman night one as well. I'd be down for that. I'd be down for really The Rock facing anybody else at Mania. I don't think it should be Seth, really. But if it was, you know, I wouldn't hate that. I think that Seth, Drew, and Sami Zayn would be a really great match, but I think that The Rock being integrated into some capacity would be good, but I don't want Roman to retain. He's great, don't want him to retain, though, and I feel like The Rock can screw Cody in heat, brother. Meltzer reports they did a damage control promo shoot for Mania without Dakota Kai, who apparently posted a video since deleted of her shoots in gear alone. Is it assumed she's a secret true leader of the group? Is there anything more to read to her not being a part of the group shot, if true? I'm sure they wanted to get some of her as well. I think they do solo shoots as well. Is Seth ahead of schedule? They are confident, WWE is confident that Seth will be able to do Mania and do it fine. And I can tell you that he was standing at the press event, not complaining about his knee or anything like that. Instead was talking about, man, this belt's heavy on my shoulder type of thing. So, I mean, that's at least promising. That's at least good news, right? Oh, wow, we got some more over here. His name was Jafar 12. Well, let's go to Jafar. This guy made a $1,000 bet with me about Mercedes. I wonder how his tweets have been lately. His last tweet is, I hope Mercedes doesn't go out there and shit on WWE when she debuts for AEW. Where's that 1K? Let's see what he says. You think he'll call me a mark or something? Probably. Did your super chat still go through? Wayne, just send what it is. And okay, Luis says he's going to repost it. And also, Wayne, I'll make this clear. You can send Luis a message directly on one of our other shows, and you will get a super chat for free because this ended up being a Q&A. So I want to make sure you get your money back there. Any indication of Big E and Punk on commentary more often? Weren't they great? Like, listen, I'll preface this. Objectively, the situation around CM Punk fighting people backstage was lucrative for Fightful. I hate that. I don't really like reporting on drama or anything like that. I like reporting on contracts, doing interviews, a lot of shit like that, right? I like that he's at least being lighthearted about it. I hope that one day, because right now he is where he wants to be and probably where he wanted to be after a certain period, I hope that they look at things and they go, you know what? That was a really stupid fucking situation. Let's let bygones be bygones. But they don't tell anybody they let bygones be bygones. And years down the line, even if it's when Punk's 48 years old, we finally get the Elite versus Punk and FTR in some capacity. I still would love to see that. I like that he's being lighthearted about it, about the fact that he's got a reputation for fighting people. What are you going to say to Big E? You're going to whip his ass? He's enormous, first off. He is a machine. And also, he's impossible to be mad at. He is such a good-hearted guy. He's such a wonderful human being. I saw it was really cool to see because my friend Andreas Hale and Big E both did the Our Heroes Rock project and did an incredible job. I got to see them catch up a little bit. Made me very happy. I always love seeing Big E, man. But I think they should implement them more. I think we should have more Pat McAfee-style unscriptedness on commentary. Let Jinder finish his story. Rock versus Jinder, baby. That would be a very short match, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Have you heard of any TNA talent considering an exit from the company? Yes, I have. I have heard of at least one big talent considering leaving the company. ROH roster page was recently updated to include Shane Taylor, Renegades, Workhorseman, Trisha Dore. Does this mean everyone listed on there must be on some kind of deal? Not necessarily, but I can say this. The Renegades had told people that they were signed to some sort of deal like a year and a half ago. Trisha Dora, I think we reported that she was. If not, I'm going to be working on that. Shane Taylor, I've got an update on his status this weekend on Fightful Select. Seth is still hurt, right? Will they risk a match before Mania? I find it hard to believe they would, but you never know. It depends on how he's feeling, but... Big E mentioned a tag, and Triple H brought up the first Mania main event, which was a tag. Yeah, a lot of this stuff I don't feel was by an accident. I'm going to say this as a hunch. I do not have the information on this. Well, first off, I know that going into Friday and leaving Friday, it wasn't a work. The reaction was the reaction. They didn't expect it to be like that. I suspect that by Monday, that was that. They had decided, well, we got to do something different. And The Rock did an incredible job. So I haven't really talked about that presser as much. And I'll probably wrap up this show in a bit. So I will wrap up the show by talking about that after I answer a few more questions. Do you think the Mania kickoff will happen every year going forward? Well, when I talked to WWE reps, I was like, I understand that you have this connection with T-Mobile Arena now because of the merger and all that, because UFC does stuff there all the time. But really, they should be doing this even at smaller, more intimate venues every Super Bowl week, I think. And you don't have to have all the big matches, but have some of the big stars. Start some big angles there. I thought it was great. I know there were a lot of people that were like, this ain't a press conference. Well, they called it a kickoff. They wanted to get media there. They wanted to capture the NFL media. The Rock wanted football media there because he's got a football league coming up. I think it would be a smart thing to do. Now, I saw some people talking about the attendance. They're like, wow, so many people. There were a good amount of people there, but they had like split the arena. They had the area behind the cameras tarped off. But still, I mean, the lines that you would see outside were incredible. The crowd was hot. Like, if I would have went to SmackDown and saw that same crowd and they reacted that same way, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, brother. Is AEW kind of down on Danhausen? I don't know what's going on there, but they should be featuring him more prominently or giving him more of they should be giving him a little bit more by the way of creative, because it's evident that he's frustrated on social media. Did you watch the pre-show panel? Yeah, you could hear it over the speakers there. What do you think about the more analysis and how it was more free-flowing? It seemed more free-flowing, less scripted. So it seemed like they were able to share their actual thoughts as well, which would be like so cool. So much better. Instead of, well, you pick this person, so I'm going to pick this person. Who do you think Mercedes' first feud will be when she gets to AEW? Maybe Chris Statlander. That's who I'm leaning towards. And as we wrap up, let's see here. Let me see. No word on Wheeler Yuta, by the way, guys. Fightful did report Lady Frost had been on a deal for quite some time. She is on a deal there. I just don't know. I don't think it's like full time. So lots of questions about the presser. Anything new in Jacob Fatu? Free agent now. How likely do you think it is Bayley gets a big entrance? They should. They owe her a big entrance. They absolutely owe her a big entrance, and they should give her one. She's worked her ass off. She's worked her ass off. Will McClain says, what's up with Britt Baker? Is she hurt or something else? I don't know if she's actively hurt. I know she's headed to Vegas or is in Vegas for Super Bowl week, but she was just sidelined for a little while. But the presser. The kickoff show, whatever the hell you want to call it. So I'll break it down. I found out about that at the end of SmackDown last week, like everybody else, and immediately was like, okay, I got to go to this. I have to attend this because, well, one, I was hopeful that there would be media availabilities, and fortunately, there was for very, very few. I think it was like me and Denise and wrestling media, and then the rest was mainstream media. But I looked at it and I was like, okay, everybody that was advertised was there, but we didn't get media availabilities with The Rock, Roman, Triple H, Cody. I thought it was a great piece of business. They had people come out and do their thing, and they had the Rhea and Becky face off, and that is a legit main event. Tanner, send in your question again, and I'll try to get it in. But I just want to make it clear, if I don't answer it, I might not have an answer for it. I don't want to spend time going, I don't know. But they did the Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth thing, and the way that it trailed, I just thought was fantastic business. I thought it was very smart for the Rock to go on Pat McAfee's show and lean into it and all that. And honestly, man, The Rock doing that helped push the needle a little bit further in his direction. But then by the time that presser happened, they were still booing him, man. I got chills when he did the look at this, and it was the extended family tree of the bloodline. I was like, okay, I like where this is going. Because I've said all along, like, man, that family is the most important thing. You think about who's in that family, and no disrespect to the WWE title, because Roman has done a great job with that as well, obviously. But you look at who is in that family. High Chief Peter Maivia, Hall of Famer. Rocky Johnson, Hall of Famer. The Rock, one of the greatest wrestlers ever. Samu and Fatu, tag team champions in their era. And then, of course, Rikishi became what he became. 3-Minute Warning, which was a good tag team. Then Rosie won the tag titles. Umaga became Umaga and was a part of one of the biggest WrestleManias ever. They mentioned Nia Jax, former world champion. Tamina, tag team champion. Deuce, tag team champion. Superfly, but Hall of Famer as well. The Usos, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Yokozuna, in my opinion, one of the greatest heels of all time. The Head Shrinker, or not the Head Shrinkers, the Wild Samoans. Tag team legends, Hall of Famers. Gary Albright married into that family. One of the most convincing in-ring wrestlers you'll ever see. Naomi married into that family. World champion all over the place. Jacob Fatu, one of the most dominant champions outside of WWE in recent memory. You also got like LA Smooth and Manu and Lance Anawai, who I'm hoping to speak to soon, by the way. You got Black Pearl and Tonga Kid and so many others. Not trying to intentionally forget anybody. Ava Rain, obviously. Zilla Fatu. That family has done so much work to make that head of the table, tribal chief thing so important. But also, well, if you mention anything about this family, I'm going to side with family. Because Roman hasn't really done anything to The Rock that I know of. Wanted to face him because it was a big match, but I like that it was called upon. Like The Rock took a shot at Cody first. He said, there is only one royal and tribal family in pro wrestling. Ooh. And I love it because the Cody line is more about the McMahons than anything, but the McMahons are smooth the fuck up out of here, except for Triple H. And I had somebody when working on this story last week say, the Anawai family has effectively leapfrogged the McMahon family as far as influence. Now, Vince still has stock, Stephanie's still around, Triple H creative. But you look at the Anawai family, you got Naomi back in WWE, you got Roman Reigns heading up stuff. Jey Uso is a top star on the Raw brand. Jimmy Uso's still around. Solo Sikoa is emerging. You got Jacob Fatu, one of the hottest free agents now. You've got The Rock on the board. Whew. Also, on that image, as somebody pointed out, which I thought was notable, and I don't think was by an accident. It said, High Chief The Rock. Whew. There are so many stories to tell between this family. And I'm going to do a sit-down video on this next week. But look at the history here. Cody and Roman, obviously. And this wasn't their first go-around. They had an incredible feud with Cody and Dustin in the Shield like a decade ago. Dusty Rhodes teamed with Rocky Johnson, The Rock's father, dozens of times. Did you know that the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, in the WWWF, teamed with the High Chief Peter Maivia back in the 70s. One match in Philly. That's something you can play off of. Dusty Rhodes, Mil Mascaris, Peter Maivia defeated Captain Lou Albano, Mr. Fuji, and Professor Horu Tanaka. You can play off of that. There's history there. I don't know if there's footage of it, but there's history there. Dustin Rhodes and The Rock, they crossed paths a few times. I thought it was an incredible piece of business. Now, I don't know what the hell they're going to do with The Rock. I don't know. But Cody should be main eventing WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes should be pinning Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I'm exhausted, and talking about that kickoff show fired me up, man. Fired me up. So, I'm glad, because we didn't get any questions about this, about the Vince stuff. Speaking of the McMahon family with Vince out, do you see Steph coming back now? I don't think so. I think that Steph is aware enough where she won't cast that attention onto WWE right now. And you never know what kind of questions she's being subjected to right now. I'm sure she's being just bombarded with interview requests and comment requests and all that stuff. I mean, I know that there are wrestling companies that have given their wrestlers the go-ahead. If they want to talk about it, they're able to. I'll have more on that. I'm going to try to round stuff up as much as I can. But I want to say thank you all so much. Guys, until next time, we're out.